is The Fan.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying.
I think anyone who puckers up their lips and presses it against their boss's buttocks and then smooches is an ass kisser.
I seem to be inept at everything except my work. I'm good at my work. So I confine myself to that. All I want out of life is a 30 share and a 20 rating.
The man's enlarged my mind. He's a poet, warrior in the classic sense. I'm a little man. He's a great man.
Think of it as colors. There's black and there's white. And in between is mostly gray. That's us. Now, gray is a tough color because it's not as simple as black and white. And for the media, certainly not as interesting. But it's who we are.
Succeed, sail again, leader, fan radio network, and KFAN.com. 2 minutes, 2 seconds past 3 o'clock Central Daylight Saving Time. Well, it's good to have you back. Bumper to Bumper is the name of the show. If you're new to it, there's nothing quite like it. It's a combo platter show that really defies description on any given weekday, and this particular weekday, a beautiful, if a bit warm, Thursday afternoon here in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I am the host. I am the bloviator in chief. My name is Dan Barrero, former ink-stained wretch, Star Tribune. Before that, Dallas Morning News. Before that, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And before that, Louisville Courier-Journal and Times. As I've said a couple times before, two of those newspapers are out of business. Garzy is the producer of the show, two-time state high school tennis champion, five-time college attendee.
Attender, yeah.
Still working on getting to that. Would it be a Bachelor of Arts, by the way?
I think so.
Is that what they call it, or would they have some other fancy name?
No, it's not going to get any fancier. I know that. it's not going to be a fancy name.
It's not going to be a Master of Arts.
No. Well, maybe, but you got to get the Bachelor first.
You got to get the BA first, don't you?
Yes, you do.
If it's still called that, I don't even know.
Yeah.
We are delighted you're with us. The Bradshaw and Brian inbox rebooted for you. Booth at KFAN.com if you'd like to be a part of the festivities. The Borton Volvo guest lineup includes Mayo Clinic big knocker Bill Maurice right after the top five at five today. He will join at about 5:15 and will at 4:30 open Dr. Dan's inbox. Still time to contribute by emailing the two-time state high school tennis champion, JG. That's JG at KFAN.com.
Get them in. If you've got an idea right now.
You got a shot at it?
Get it in. Well, I have a little bit of a deadline on when we need some of the submissions today because of some things that we're doing technically.
You're right. All right.
And so I've been asked to get the entries
it's all coming back to me.
As soon as you possibly can.
All right. That's fair.
So if you've got an inbox thing and you've been workshopping it, mm-hmm. you're thinking, I've got till 4:30.
Don't.
Technically, you do, but it'd be a lot easier for everyone involved if you got them in early and often, JG at KFAN.com.
It'd be better if you don't, in this case, procrastinate. Some of you I know are great procrastinators and do your best work when you're under the gun. And you have eight minutes to get your paper in or whatever the case may be. Today, it might behoove you to move a little quicker than that. I mentioned off the top of the program that we are indeed your If at First You Don't Succeed sail again leader. As far as I know, it's true. As far as I know, it has been vetted, this particular story, by respected media outlets. And indeed, on June 18, which sounds to me like is 2 weeks from tomorrow, Friday, June 18, former members of the Minnesota Vikings will host a Love Boat cruise on Lake Minnetonka.
Excuse me?
Not sure if it's been officially sanctioned by the organization itself.
You don't go to Vikings.com to get tickets.
You no details on it there either?
You don't need the Vikings mobile app to get in.
But it's made my day. Or
it's incredible.
24 hours. I can't lie to you. Bryant McKinney.
Of course.
Leading the charge, along with a former Viking safety, very good one, named Robert Griffith. A former Viking named Byron Chamberlain, who I think was more famous for the work he did in Denver, right? Wasn't he an effective tight end in Denver?
Yeah, but we had him a little while.
We had him a little while. And McKinney. Griffith, via Twitter, with perhaps tongue-in-cheek, describes it as a, quote, fun summer experience. No word on whether Miweldy Moore will be there.
He's engaged.
Sex.
I didn't see him.
Do we have that soundbite?
No, I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't even know if we ever had it.
But this is open to rubes. The whole bit here is hang out with former Vikings, including McKinney, Griffith, Byron Chamberlain. Get autographs, slap each other on the back. Presumably, you get some feedback. I'm assuming there's going to be some feedback there.
Your ticket includes food that will be provided on the cruise.
My understanding is there is no expectation of exotic dancers, although who's to say?
Only time will tell.
And when I say, if at first you don't succeed, sail again, I am reminded, and I guess I'd forgotten this, that for the Vikings who are on that cruise, and on that Love Boat cruise, the date was October 6, 2005. Hard to believe, coming up on 16 years ago this fall. McKinney was front and center, right?
He was. He was in charge of certain aspects of the cruise.
Was Robert Griffith on the cruise?
I don't think so.
I don't think he was.
He was a generation earlier.
I think he was. And Byron Chamberlain, I don't think, was a part of that. McKinney is the link, as far as we know, at least the one identified significant link to the original, rather disastrous, Lake Minnetonka, Alan Alma's Love Boat cruise. You're familiar, I assume we have it somewhere, the Love Boat theme song. I was looking at some of the words. Love Boat soon will be making another run. The Love Boat promises something for everyone. Wasn't that the truth in 2005? Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new romance. Love won't hurt anyone. It's an open smile on a friendly shore. Love, exciting and new. We're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward. Let it flow. It floats back to you. There it is. I will maybe play the song later. I can't get enough of it. In fact, I said, timing's a little off, but I told program director Chad Abbott, who knew nothing about this, or he was feigning that he knew nothing mm-hmm. about it, that we should broadcast live from the cruise. And he said, no, what we do is we're on Mace's boat.
Oh,
trailing and tracking
yeah.
all the shenanigans on the new edition of the Love Boat cruise led by the one and only Bryant McKinney. Did you see the price?
Well, it's early bird pricing right now. I know that.
$125
for now. That ends June 11th.
I see. So this is how you can save a couple of bucks.
Yeah, $25 gets you in a little bit cheaper.
$125. For how many hours? Six to
6 to 8 is what's listed.
Well, what I was leading to, and then I lost myself in my eyes, or my own prose, no, my own words, is that the original Love Boat cruise was supposed to go 3.5 hours and lasted about 45 minutes.
Mm.
Because what happened is the complaints started pouring in, and authorities basically called, and I think, weren't there two boats? Pretty sure there were two boats.
There were two boats.
Very
different experiences from what I remember.
That's what we've been told.
Yeah.
But the boats were basically called back in. They were forced back in. So when I say, if at first you don't succeed, sail again, for McKinney, it's probably the regret of he never really
got the experience.
I was about to say consummated the cruise, but that might be the wrong term based on what we heard. He never was able to complete the cruise as was originally envisioned and intended. So he's saying 45 minutes was not enough. I mean, what did we leave out on the table there? Literally, in the case of Fred Smoot, based on what we've been told, is Smoot a part of this?
Not officially, but you never know who's going to show up.
Is there going to be, that's the beauty of this, if they're playing this right, if McKinney and company are playing this right, they throw out, and there just might be a couple of surprise guests. Some names that, you know, might be familiar to you that you haven't heard from in a while. And I would think Smoot would have to be at the top of the list, right?
Yes. Oh, he's immediately who you think of right after McKinney.
Another question for you. Is it technically illegal to invite exotic dancers on a boat cruise and have them perform? What are the rules about as it pertains to, in this case, this would be Lake Minnetonka, right?
I think it's Lake Minnetonka, yeah.
That's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
What are the rules? Is that automatically illegal? Is it
good question?
Free country? I mean,
I would think it's because it's public, it's probably illegal.
Okay. You're probably right.
Because you're going out in public. Because Lake Minnetonka is technically public.
But so you could invite exotic dancers.
Yeah.
Because it's a free country,
yeah.
and it's a free cruise. Well, not a free cruise, but you can, you know, pick whoever you want. But they probably would not be advised to perform.
Not on the deck. I mean, maybe underneath they could. I don't know, depending on how big the boat is. But I don't
possible.
Think it could be public. No. I'd never thought to check, but I'm just going.
Well, now I hadn't thought of it in years, but now I'm wondering again.
I have a lot of questions. And is the 6 to 8, is that negotiable? Like, if we're having a good time, can we spin it around for another hour or
There's
so?
There's no chance it ends at 8. Well, I mean, if it goes the right way this time, I should say.
Right.
My guess is it ends up. I mean, the sun doesn't even set. It's not even dark on Lake Minnetonka till after 9. By the time you get 2 more weeks from now, are we talking about 9 p.m. sunset?
Yeah. I mean, when you're thinking mid-June.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I like the idea. I like Abbott's idea of that's the day we go on Mace's boat and we track it.
One issue, though.
What's that?
What if Mace wants to go on this cruise?
I wouldn't rule it out.
He's not going to let us just drive his boat.
No, but I
Mace
think we
might
could
want to go
him.
Hang with these guys. He's a football guy. Football players. It's possible, but I do like that idea. I definitely like that
idea. Is there enough meat on the Love Boat bone to do a, you know, an upper Midwest style, you know, 30 for 30 on this, on the original Love Boat?
Yes.
Three-parter?
No, I think it's like a one-parter.
Okay.
Maybe 90 minutes.
Okay. And the key to it is what? The key to it is getting the principals to be willing to come forward and discuss it.
I think McKinney would. We should probably try to get McKinney on regardless.
Probably should.
To promote the thing. Hopefully he'd have a good spirit about it.
Do we know yet who the inspiration was behind this and why it took them so long?
Well, what's interesting is
to scratch the itch.
It's Vikings from different eras, like we said.
Very true.
Because Griffiths was on those early mid to late 90s teams, if I remember right. And McKinney obviously was 2001, I think, is when he was drafted and obviously was here for a while. But having him really does, I think, bring it all together because he was such an important piece of the original Love Boat. McKinney was.
90 people on the two boats originally. and I think upwards of like 16 or 17 Vikings players at last count owned up to, or it was established that they were on one of the two boats. So what you remember is one of them was a lot rowdier. So was
all the chicanery
going on on one, and the other was G-rated?
That I don't know about that. That was the allegation, because part of it was players were admitting to being on one of the boats, but a lot of them were trying to say that they were on the other boat.
On the chased boat.
If I remember right. I'd have to go back and look, but I remember being in. I mean, I was standing next to Moeldy Moore when he did the infamous sex.
Seriously?
Yes, because I was...
You were reporting live from Winter Park?
Yeah, I think I was just there to gather sound.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I was an intern. I think I was actually working here. Yeah, in 05, I would have been working here. And so I was standing next to him there, but everybody, they were scurrying to the G-rated boat. Everybody was amazed. Yeah, I was on the water. But yeah, the other boat, I don't know what was going on there. Very few, besides Smoot, who I don't think cared.
Let's get a break, because I have... It's the first time in a long time I've wanted to revisit questions that to this day I still do have that I think have never been completely resolved on the original Love Boat. And maybe this will be the galvanizing force that makes us or allows us to get to the bottom of it. Maybe the statute of limitations having run out on any potential crimes being committed means that we're going to get to the bottom of some stuff. Because there's still a lot of mystery, I think, surrounding something that we've had fun with and have talked about intermittently for the better part of the last decade.
iHeartRadio app.
I think we've established this before, that the mischievous Love Boat these days is on West Lake Okoboji in Iowa. I think that we have established that much. I don't remember if there were two boats. I don't know what happened to the other boat. Maybe the G-rated boat, nobody cares.
Nobody was interested.
So I'm assuming, so mischievous was the R-rated boat?
I think it was.
One assumes?
Yep.
Huh.
What a time.
Yeah. We laughed. We cried. Is Tice going to be on it? Mike Tice possibly going to make an appearance.
Selling tickets, as someone suggested.
Yeah, that suggestion has indeed been made. A couple people are saying that that Exotic Dancers on Lake Minnetonka is no problem. It's international waters.
Is that true?
I didn't know those were international waters.
I think on Big Island, you can do whatever you want.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
There's different zones of the lake where anything goes, from what I've been told.
Yeah. But so we don't know yet who was inspired to do this.
I mean, given that it's on, you have to go to Robert Griffith's website.
Must be Griffith, I guess, yeah.
I would think he's got something to do with it. I mean, in terms of starting it. But the name value, the name recognition... It's got to be with Brian McKinney. Like, I don't think you'd do the boat if B-Mac's not on it.
No, you got to have at least one legitimate link. And then,
correct.
If I recall the controversy, McKinney imported the Exotic Dancers. Was it from Atlanta?
That's what I remember, yes.
And what was the hue and cry here?
What's wrong with ours?
What's wrong with our Exotic Dancers?
Yeah.
Not good enough for you, Mr. McKinney?
And Atlanta, right, they say is like the strip club capital of the world.
Yeah.
It's legendary.
And good chicken wings.
According to Lou Williams.
Exactly right.
Yeah. But it was a little disappointing we didn't have more locals.
I thought so. Maybe we did and we just didn't even know about it. We don't think the Miweldy Moore soundbite. Is there any sound left over in the system from the Love Boat escapade?
We call it an F3 search.
Because everybody, Culpepper was on the boat.
He was. He said...
Was he on the R-rated boat?
Yes, but I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but I remember, if I remember correctly, his alibi was he was gambling. He was like rolling dice or doing something like that or playing cards.
So was it ever... As far as we know, and this is shocking when you think about it, but maybe not, given that was, coming up on 16 years ago, 2005. As far as we know, do we know whether any video even exists?
I mean, I don't think any did. I mean, there weren't that many camera phones back then. That's how the video would have got, you know, now there'd be video everywhere.
By all accounts, if it had been 5 years later,
yeah, there would have been video.
Endless video that would have surfaced at one point or not. Like, well, what was back then? What were some of the gossipy TV shows? Inside Edition, was that around then?
Probably.
That would have happily paid, like, Entertainment Tonight paid like $20,000 for a bootleg Fred Smoot video of what took place. And did we was it ever proven that there was actual debauchery that took place? I think it was established that there were exotic dancers performing, but did it go further than that? Was there actual activity?
I think there was, yeah. I think it was reported.
Reported at the time?
Yeah. But again, we were getting denials on almost everything.
And the NFL never... Did we get punished? Did the Vikings as an organization get punished by the National Football League? I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I remember shortly thereafter, that was the culture of accountability. Will family. Remember there was like a 75-page
manifesto
about what it meant, what it meant to be a Viking.
Yeah.
And what was expected of you as a Viking.
Right.
And culture of accountability was one of the big buzzwords. One of the big buzz phrases. And whatever you think of the Wills, we haven't had a Love Boat scandal since.
Well, that we know of. Well, we had the little scene stairwell. Remember the stairwell controversy? Didn't we have, wasn't there a defensive back?
Yeah, Dwight Smith. I think that was the same year.
Was that the same year?
It was right around the same time.
Oh, so that wasn't later?
No.
Okay.
Dwight Smith was, that was about the same time.
All right.
If I remember correctly. Yeah, Club Escape at Block E.
Club Escape. Somebody is writing, David writes that Barstool Sports did do a short doc on the infamous outing, and he has a link. And I think I vaguely remembered. I don't know if I remember anything about it. You know how much depth there was about it. I know Smoot's been asked about it from time to time.
Yeah.
I just don't know that we've ever gotten the full accounting, the X-rated. Even I'm not even sure we've gotten the R-rated version for people, because I'm thinking now enough time. On the one hand, enough time has passed where it wouldn't be a problem. On the other hand, we're in a different age when it comes to, shall we say, opening up about those kinds of escapades. It almost seems like, well, there's still the statute of limitations from a public relations standpoint now, certainly via Twitter, it never ends. Whenever you did it, you're going to pay for it eventually, right? So to that extent, I'm not sure that encourages people to be more honest about the whole thing now and just kind of laugh it off.
The person I am most curious about, though, I am wondering if Moeldy Moore ended up getting married and if he's still married.
That's a great question.
That was his big alibi.
Said he was engaged, right?
He said he was engaged, yes. When he was bemused that we would even bring up, and I can't remember the reporter's name, but it was a
regular. Who asked the question? Do you know?
Yeah, I can see his face. I think he worked for Carol Levin.
So it was a news reporter.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's always the best when they roll in, right? It doesn't happen very often. It only happens when it's a scandal. And I'll never forget, I mean, he was just peppering him with, did you see any sex on the boat? What did you see
sex
in the boat, Moeldy? And that's where sex? No.
I'm engaged.
I'm engaged, man.
Can you imagine? This is, to me, the best part of looking back. Can you imagine our guy, Paul Bloom, covering Sex Boat 2005?
No, I mean, it'd be so intense.
Oh, it'd be tremendous.
It'd be so intense.
He'd never let up. He'd never stop.
It'd be so intense.
Oh, it'd be
from Alan Almas.
Think about it.
Paul Bloom.
Covering all angles.
Fox 9. Yeah.
Of that particular story.
Uh-huh.
It'd be so good. Because the news guys were out for that one, right? That's when they would surface.
It was packed. The locker room at Winter Park wasn't very big.
Was Kessler, did he cover it, Love Boat?
I don't remember seeing Kessler.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing him.
Yeah. So, if you're wondering why we're talking about this or just joining us, it's because, and it's apparently not a bit, Bryant McKinney and several other former Vikings are promoting a new Lake Minnetonka Love Boat cruise. They're not calling it the Love Boat, they're just calling it a boat cruise 2 weeks from tomorrow. And they're getting from shows like ours, endless free publicity as well. But we can't help ourselves, I don't think, can we?
We can't. And thanks to Sam on Twitter, just sent us this.
Sex? What are you talking about? Is that what? Man, that's crazy. Sex? Come on. Look, man, I'm engaged, so none of that.
None of that.
That's the unexpurgated version.
Yeah,
that's longer than the one I remember, the fan soundbite.
And what's funny is it's part of like an embarrassing Vikings montage on SportsCenter. They have the Wizinator on here in a 35-second soundbite. They've got the Wizinator and Matt Burke commenting on embarrassing situation to get caught up in. Right. And then they toss it to Mueldy Moore.
Was Burke on the cruise?
We should ask him.
I don't think he was.
We should ask him.
Well,
He's not really a Lake Minnetonka kind of guy.
No,
but
here's the thing. He's trying to sort of raise his political profile, isn't he?
Kessler claims we don't know many of his political views.
It's true. This is the kind of thing that could haunt him.
Yeah.
If there's another shooter drop here, there's a skeleton in the closet.
Where were you?
Yeah.
In October, whatever.
And can you prove it?
2005.
I think it was September. Yeah, I think that was the date. October 6th. You're right, 2005. We've already had some folks. Your gal Haley via Twitter has volunteered to wear a GoPro if we are indeed going to try to cover it. I believe she would. I don't believe there's any question.
There's nobody more dedicated to the bit.
No, it'd be tremendous. Have we heard from Mace on it? Has he surfaced?
No, but he'll probably call tomorrow. Because I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
But somebody the coffee shop went today.
What was that in the coffee shop?
They said I was going to be on this sex boat. And there you go again, Danny. Fact or fiction?
Fact or fiction.
Yeah.
Making stuff up. You're the one who said he might want to be on the boat rather than be on his own boat.
I'll take responsibility. He'll take the cheap shot of me, and he'll say, you know, Guardsy was there because there's going to be food.
What's the name of this boat? Do we know?
Very few details on which cruise company they're using, which boat they're using. I haven't seen any of that on the website.
Star Tribune described it as a wild sex party.
That's what it was.
A late cruise that turned into a wild sex party.
Not a Minnesota Wild sex party.
No,
they're a wild sex party. Lowercase
W.
Yep.
On wild sex party, which I guess would indicate there might have been some debauchery that was indeed going on. Bradshaw and Brian inbox is open. We got some interesting emails on this subject to get to. I want to remind you that we got Dr. Dan's inbox to open about an hour from now, and we have Mayo Clinic big knocker Bill Maurice right after a very special edition of Top 5 at 5. We may also be close to you no longer feeling obligated to include the Twins in the top 5 at 5, the Twins result.
It's a little frustrating.
We're getting there, are we not? I mean, you could say there's the newsy aspect isn't another loss so much as it is the injuries, adding, you know, insult to injury, no pun intended. But we're getting very close to that place where it's just not going to be necessary. And it's been a few years since we've been in that boat. We're used to it for a while there. We didn't have to really spend any time with the Twins.
We're very accustomed to it.
Kind of months at a time.
Yep.
I do want to get a little bit more serious and go to the A section because it's been a very busy morning and afternoon in the city of Minneapolis. And I want to try to run through exactly what is going on because I'm not even sure we can know what's going on because if the people in charge of the city don't know exactly, how can anybody else? But there's a lot of ground to cover regarding what took place, I think, starting at 4:30 this morning at the corner of 38th and Chicago. We'll get to that, and as I said, prepare you for a very good game.
The Fan.
Well, it's that time again, and I have a hunch that the timing here, There's always good material, I think, each week for Dr. Dan's inbox.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you get a freebie. You get a gift from God. And I dare say the news that a brand spanking new, basically Love Boat 2.0, is headed to Lake Minnetonka for 2 weeks from Friday is a gift that many of our contributors, Dr. Dan inbox contributors, are taking full advantage of.
Yeah, and there's a couple of ways to do that. Throw all of them out at once.
Yes.
Or sprinkle them in.
Which direction have you chosen to go?
I think we're going to do the sprinkle.
Okay.
We're going to do the sprinkle. Thank you, Wedding Day Diamonds, by the way, for bringing us Dr. Dan's inbox every single Thursday, right around 4:30, unless Dan's on a political rant that has the Bradshaw and Brian inbox on fire, and then it's closer to 4:45. But it's usually 4:30 thanks to Wedding Day Diamonds.
It's time for Dr. Dan's inbox.
Very parched today.
It's getting hotter, that's why.
Dear Dr. Dan, I noticed that you, Jay Gard, D from Woodbury, and B. Molesky aren't talking about me like I'm the next K. Bryant anymore. Was it something I said? Or was it my 19-for-64 shooting and getting swept by the M. Bucks? I'll ask, should I accept that my run last season was a complete fluke? Or should I continue to believe that I actually am K. Bryant and force yet another trade because it's probably all T. Hero's fault? Meanwhile, I am actually about to sign probably a max contract extension this summer with a team that will never contend for a title again because, as the next K. Bryant, I know I deserve that money. Best wishes, Jay Butler.
We call it the fairness and flattery section of the program. I expected we were... I'm actually surprised it's taken this long for the... the anti-Butler fans to surface.
That particular writer, by the way, I emailed him back. He's a frequent listener and tweeter of ours, one of our biggest, most loyal listeners.
Okay.
He emailed me at like 5:30 this morning.
Very excited about it?
And I just said, you've had that in the holster for a while.
What's funny is I thought maybe, and maybe you'll tell me, be patient, that we were going to get two or three as it related to the rather precipitous collapse in the playoffs of one Tom T. Thibodeau.
Just wait one more letter.
So I had a hunch that'd be coming too. Here's what I would say. It was be foolish for Dr. Dan to pretend it was not a very disappointing playoff series for the Miami Heat against the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, they got... Basically, there was one competitive game, right? The first game that went into OT.
That was it.
Butler shot badly, but here's what I'll come back with. Jay Butler shooting that badly is still a better two-way player than anybody the Minnesota Timberwolves have. And if you look at, I'm assuming they left this out purposefully, a number of the other numbers from Jay Butler's box score. He had at least one triple-double. I think he almost had a second one. Point is, and I'll throw this in too, and this will be a foreshadowing for the Knicks/Tibbs ripping that's coming next. Jimmy Butler does not have, at this point, I'd say, you look at that roster and you go, it's a nice roster. But if he's not scoring, and who's the guy who... came out of nowhere last year in the draft.
Tyler Hero.
When I say come out of nowhere, he was taken pretty highly.
Yep.
But he collapsed this year. And so if they got nobody else to score, Jay Butler's got no choice but to continue to try to put up shots. So bottom line, bad finish. Can't deny it. Fairness and flattery. Would I take him back? In a hot minute, Dr. Dan would take him back.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Dear Dr. Dan, well. What do you think of T. Thibodeau and Jay Butler now? I still have faith in G. Rosas and C. Finch to turn this team into a winner. By the way, do you know of any good lawyers that can help me with some recent lawsuits and legal troubles? I've come into some recent funds, so money's not going to be an issue, but I do have a few hurdles to clear. Well, off to sign some illegal under-the-table deals, since that will be an M. Laurie and A. Rodriguez problem in the future. G. Taylor.
So G. Taylor may be kind of reveling in the fact that it ended rather unceremoniously for the New York Knicks and T. Thibodeau. I don't even know where to begin on this one.
All I Speaking can tell of bad you, rosters.
All I can tell you is I told you so. I predicted this a week ago. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. And I said the unfortunate position that T. Thibodeau is in is that he, by overachieving with one of the least talented rosters in all of professional basketball, he raised the level of expectation to absurdity. There is not a GM in the league who would say that the Atlanta Hawks talent or that the Knicks talent is anywhere close to the Atlanta Hawks talent. Add to that, Jay Randle, who had emerged as a star for the Knicks this year, most improved player under the tremendous guidance and tutelage of T. Thibodeau, shot worse than Jay Butler. He was awful. He ended up, I think, for the tournament shooting 29%, but that includes the last game where he was near 500. Before that, he was like about 22%. So it was predictable, but that's Tibbs being victimized by, they had no business, even in the Eastern Conference, being a number four seed, but you raise yourself that high, you sweep Atlanta during the regular season, but what happened? You guys weren't even competitive. Can anybody out there name two New York Knickerbockers?
Well, Wolves fans can because it's D. Rose and T. Gibson.
That's it.
Guys that we had.
And that's the other thing. We all love the D. Rose story. But D. Rose is 5 years past his prime. I mean, when you have to count on him to the degree you do, you're asking for trouble. So, not at all surprised, but I don't sadly expect any measure of context from the oppressor haters, the Tibbs haters, who now think they've been vindicated that, indeed, he's not only a bad general manager, he's an overrated coach.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
How about T. Young bowing at the end yesterday and then doing the Broadway line? Did you see that?
I did not. I heard about it.
That was a great line.
Yeah.
Great line.
He was very good.
He was very good.
He definitely seemed to enjoy playing the R. Miller, the Reggie Miller,
no question,
position as one of the anti-heroes at the Garden.
Dear Dr. Dan, call me old-fashioned, but I believe you get paid for a hard day's work. You need to show up every day. If you have a mosquito bite or a little scrape, you show up and you work. Something has happened since I retired. I can no longer keep track of who is working in my former profession. For example, I look at the M Twins. I can't figure out who any of these guys are. Do they just pick players from the crowd each night? Does their training program consist of those who can eat the most mini donuts? Jay Maurer looks like an Iron Man at this point. Set me straight on this, Dr. Dan. C. Ripken.
I don't know. It's apparently we're finding out that the Twins are not the only team that are that a lot of baseball teams have all kinds of injury issues, and now that's the new soul searching about what does that tell you about training methods, whatever. It is uncanny, but I'm Dr. Dan, still worried that as a result of the number of injuries we've had, the team dysfunction is going to be let off the hook way, way, way too easily. For example, injury, the reason that your guy Colome got just, I think, did he give up a three-run dong last night? He gave
Something
up another
like
home run.
Yeah.
Or he gave up another series of runs. And so that's a good example of somebody who was brought in with pretty good bona fides, who just hasn't played particularly well. Injuries have absolutely hurt this team and have made it almost, it has made it impossible for them to even think about getting back in the mix. But let's not forget the level of dysfunction among relief pitchers, starting pitchers even before the injuries began, defensive breakdowns, and some of the most hideous hitting, even when it was main guys. We get Buxton's been gone for a while, but a number of other guys have not really done nearly enough. Sano has been, as usual, too streaky. So I think it's fair game to wonder about training methods at this point. I really do. I honestly do. I don't think that's a joke, but I hope to goodness that it's not a crutch that Falvin will use as if, just one of those years. You know, you get them, some years you're healthy, some years you're not, and that ends up being the reason, the number one reason given for why the ball guys make another series of excuses for the Twins that they were nowhere near as good as advertised.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Dear Dr. Dan, what says Viking more than a long boat? Or in this case, a reminiscence of Love Boat. Consider it our remembrance of the late, great G. McLeod as C. Steubing. We'll have more than one gopher here. The university has a famous one. F. Smoot and Smut go hand in hand. Mount McKinney, not just a nickname. For some, it's a destination. And tight ends, we'll have plenty in a couple of Friday nights. Along with special guest B. Chamberlain. Come aboard. We're expecting you, R. Griffith.
I was kind of hoping that was from B. McKinney. I am looking at a B. McKinney Instagram.
Yeah.
From, I think, 2 days ago. And have you seen it?
I don't think I have.
It reads, Ladies Love Wednesdays. It's headlined, Between the Sheets, hosted by Brian McKinney.
The stories a stadium
could
tell.
Between the Sheets.
That's a good podcast right there.
Hosted by Brian McKinney, Wednesday, June 2. And then there's, it looks like a hashtag, Ladies Love Wednesday. So what the hell is this? What is he hosting?
Okay, calm down.
Is that an exotic dance night deal? Is that a club night deal?
I don't know.
But we're going to need to get to the bottom of it because he's going to be one of the big-time hosts. He was a big-time host on Love Boat 1, the original Love Boat, and he apparently is going to be a big... He's the link. He's the conduit, the link to the original Love Boat.
Yeah.
On Love Boat 2.0.
It's only right that he's a part of it.
Between
the Sheets.
The Sheets. Hosted by Bryant McKinney.
I wonder if that's an iHeartRadio featured podcast. You know? I wonder...
If it'll make money, it's only a matter of time it is.
It didn't come up in our town hall meeting last week.
Did not?
No, I didn't. Between the Sheets didn't come up with Mr.
Give it time.
With Mr. Pittman.
Give it time.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Every day.
Dear Dr. Dan, the last few days, a lot of people have speculated that the reasons for my retirement surrounded the transfer portal or players getting paid for their image and likeness. I tried to downplay those things by saying it was because of my family. Honestly, the real reason is something that R. Williams, S. Miller, J. Calipari, B. Self, and I were talking about on a group text the other day. Shoe company recruiters aren't what they used to be. Is this an okay reason for calling it a day? Sincerely, M. Krzyzewski.
Well, we're going to have a whole year. It's going to be a tough year.
For the Duke haters?
For the Duke haters, yeah. And for the Duke lovers, quite frankly, because
yeah.
The Duke haters will be working overtime, retching because of an endless series of testimonies and testimonials on behalf. I mean, this is his victory lap, right? Basically, is what he's going to do.
100%.
Because, you know, he could have retired right now.
Yes.
By the way, who's going to replace him? Do we know?
John Shire.
Is that already official?
It is official.
Oh.
Yes. He's an assistant coach there now.
Okay.
Was on that 2010 team where you and I were in Indy.
Is he up to it?
We'll find out. Only time will tell, Davey.
Man. So then
I am seeing, here's what people are already doing. Shire was the main recruiter on, you know, Jay Tatum and Z Williamson and all these things. And I get it. He's on the staff. It's like, let's get serious. Coach K. And someone's like, let's see who the real dynasty is, Duke or Coach K. It's Coach K.
It is Coach K.
I mean, Duke, obviously. He's built it up, and it might go beautifully. It's worked before, but, man, that's a big hill to climb if you're Jay Shire.
USA Today, perhaps trying to stir it up, it's smart to that extent, has Coach K. They have a new list, and I don't know if it's one person or a consortium, suggesting that in the all-time college basketball coaching rankings, Mike Krzyzewski is not behind John Wooden. He is ahead of him. He is number one. They have, I think, Wooden second. Can't remember who's third. Knight is sixth. I think R. Pitino, not Richard, Rick, is eight, something like that.
Yep.
But whether they really believe Coach K is number one or not, they were brilliant making him number one. Because if you make him two or three behind Wooden, there's nobody's reacting.
No.
Right? They're going, okay, well, I don't like him, or he's
makes
annoying
sense
to me, but he's got to be there. But if you put him ahead of Wooden, you put him number one, then you're going to get people's attention.
Thank you for the memories. Thank you for the great time. We love you, Dan.
I keep forgetting to email him. I need to do it. I still like to get him on sometime this summer. B. Walton.
You better do it. I assume Grateful Dead's about to kick off a 50-city tour, and he's probably going to be riding along with
them. So Scoggins wrote about the portal. So now what's the date threshold here where everything is it? Is he just write about it because he wanted to write about it, or is there some threshold date that means everybody's in the pool?
Well, I think he wrote about it because recruiting has basically opened back up, like contact periods.
Right. Okay.
Like, if you notice, like, Gophers have had camps all week. June 1st is when
June 1.
Basically everybody's been able to go do visits and stuff. Like, Ben Johnson's got a whole week of Minnesota kids lined up visiting. PJ's got camps going on right now. It's open now. So people are being able to contact. It's just, I think, more of a general recruiting.
Are there any truth to the rumors that our Pitino, as in Richard Pitino, is going to be coming back here soon to continue to nurture that Minnesota pipeline that he made so important to him when he coached here? No reason why he can't continue that with the Lobos.
Yeah, the next question. This is high-level competitive stuff
here. I had to say it.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Dear Dr. Dan, I feel like I need to take out an ad in the Star Tribune like Jordan when he came back to save the day. How does this headline sound? I'm back. Not real original, I know, but the fans will understand. Let me cover two things. Number one, will Blue Chew Chewables deliver to boats? Number two, I have an extra ticket. Are you in? Sincerely,
I'm spitting up.
F. Smoot. I knew when he took a drink right at Blue Chew it was going to be an issue. It's going to be a problem. Will Blue Chew deliver to boats? We'll have to ask.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Discreet packaging.
That's for sure. I will be very disappointed if F. Smoot does not make a guest appearance on Love Boat 2.0 2 weeks from tomorrow.
How do they not do
Lake
it?
Lake Minnetonka. If you're going to go with it, I mean, if you're doing this at all, you're doing it with a wink, right? I mean, that's the whole point. There's no other reason to do it, correct? You're having fun with it. And so if you're going to have fun with it, you might as well go all the way with it. And so, at the very least, I'd like to see F. Smoot here. And I'm still very skeptical of the idea of this is a two-hour cruise. Even Gilligan's Island, you know, the Gilligan cruise is 3 hours.
Right,
you got to go
tour.
3 hours, a three-hour tour, don't you?
Well, a lot of those dinner cruises, though, on Lake Minnetonka, they want to get the next boat out there.
I didn't think this was meant to be a dinner cruise, exactly.
Well, food's available.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm wondering, like I said, can you extend it? Or is there another boat? Is there, like, an after party? Because with Brian McKinney, there's always an after party. There's the pre-party.
Between the sheets.
There's the party.
Any question about that.
And there's
that.
The after party. So I have to imagine that they've got that as well.
Is B. McKinney between the sheets during these performances? What's the deal here?
I'm not sure.
Got to get more information on this thing.
We're going to have to subscribe.
Yeah, maybe so.
Got a couple of more to walk off on.
All right. Letters. Oh, we get letters.
We get your letters every day. Dear Dr. Dan, to paraphrase what Sir C. Barkley once said to you, we aren't paid enough to watch this bleep every night. Any suggestions? See Provis D. Gladden.
Wow. Speaking of Barkley, did you see what he is starting his new nickname for Anthony Davis?
Street clothes.
Street clothes.
And Ernie.
So vicious.
It's vicious. And I love
so brilliant.
I love Ernie was just trying to get the hell out of there.
Was he?
Yeah, like he just thought, you know, it was vicious. And so he's trying not to.
Street clothes.
Doesn't want to be associated with it. Street clothes is a great nickname.
They
followed up on it. He goes, what'd you call? Street clothes.
Street clothes. Tonight they play again, don't they?
I think both LA teams have pivotal game fives tonight.
No.
Or pivotal game sixes.
No, the Clippers. No, because the Clippers lost the Mavericks last night.
Oh, so they're down 3-2.
They're now down 3-2, going back to Dallas. Dallas can wrap it up. What was the question again? Oh,
C. Provis and D. Gladden.
Yeah. I like listening to them. I mean, they have fun with it. They do the best they can with it. But the sad reality is now there's a chance it's about to get really bad because even if you say, well, they're better than their record, just give them a chance to get the band back together, the band ain't coming back together, right? I mean, they're throwing people out there we've never heard of. The Garber injury just sounded absolutely.
Yeah.
When you got to do surgery within like 45 seconds of the injury.
Yeah.
That usually means something's up.
We got one from M. Garver. All it said was, ouch. And that was it. That was it.
That's a lot. Yeah, Who did baseball's a funny game. I had no delusions that the Twins were going to do anything in the postseason this year, but I thought they probably would still be in the mix of some sort to get. But I mean, last I looked, if I did my math right, and Dr. Dan rarely does, I think we're like 8 or 9 games out of the last wild card spot.
Remember the second wild
card? Record wise. Aren't there 3 now, or is there only 2?
Oh, there might be 3 now.
I can't even remember how many there are. Whatever it is.
And we're still not
we're
doing
still
well.
8 or 9 out. So, and so that means there's like about, we're 10, we're, is it 11 out of first place. White Sox, I think, were rained out last night, and we obviously lost. We actually lost the series to the Orioles. That wasn't even considered possible in Major League Baseball. And we got so many teams between us. So a lot of people say, well, you know, 10 games, you'd be surprising. It's not just the number of games, it's the number of teams that you're competing against as well. So it's going to be a summer where they're going to have to spin yarns. They're not going to have any choice but to spin yarn after yarn, anecdote after anecdote.
30-year anniversary of the 91 World Series. They could get a lot of run out of that.
Oh, there you go. I forgot about that. I'm surprised the Twins aren't.
Oh, I'm sure they'll
have They got some big plans?
I'm sure they will. They have to.
Yeah.
It's 30 years.
Was there a home run derby involving Joe Mauer? Is that true?
It's coming up.
Okay.
It's his charity event.
They're it's a wonderful cause. Yeah. I mean, is the tongue in cheek there, or is it?
You haven't seen him hit the wiffle ball.
Okay.
You haven't seen him do that.
All right. My bad.
And now that he's got like old man strength and dad power, he's pulling the ball all over the place.
Is he bloated?
He's no.
Oh,
just, Joe Mauer?
No.
He's got kids, Dan. He's got to stay in shape to chase him around.
All right.
So they tell me.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Do a couple quickies here.
Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Dear Dr. Dan, another boat cruise on Lake Minnetonka? I'll bring the dice, D. Culpepper. Dear Dr. Dan, at the coffee shop today, I heard you two yahoos were looking to get on my boat. A couple of Fridays from now. You better get a couple of tickets, because if you think you're getting on my boat...
Are you nuts?
G. Mason.
You know who needs to be on the Love Boat 2.0? If you're really, again, maximizing it, too?
Who's that?
Herschel.
H. Walker?
Yeah, again, he's got nothing to do with it, but
no.
That, the point is, neither does Robert Griffith.
No,
Griffith.
He doesn't.
So,
no.
What you do is you take, you know, famous or infamous periods in Vikings history. That's what the boat thing should be. G. Anderson.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There you go.
Well, now it's a boat of calamity. You've turned
exactly.
It into the boat of calamity.
Well, because you can't, I don't think you can make it sex boat again. I think all the antenna is going to be up on that.
Yeah.
So you turned it into a calamity boat. You're right. Who's the younger kicker we had who went wide left against Seattle?
B. Walsh.
Yeah, B. Walsh. Bring all the people we associate with. T. Williamson.
Yeah. I think he was on the boat.
Was he on the original Love Boat? Timing is right.
I think so. Yeah. 2005, I think, was his rookie year.
Did he catch anything?
That's pretty good stuff.
Sorry.
That's funny. funny
just
stuff.
Asking.
There you go. Thank you, Wedding Day Diamonds, for bringing us Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Thank you very much, Wedding Day Diamonds. Top 5 at 5 is coming up. Is that correct?
It is. We'll hear from Billy Guerin.
Oh, any juicy stuff?
There's some Parisi talk. Some Parisi talk. I know that's what you want.
I'm looking for.
Are you nuts?
Are you nuts?
Into the Fan.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. Cause I speak.
It's knocker time. Mayo Clinic Laboratories president, William Bill Maurice, kind enough to join us on the Connecticut Water Systems hotline. And it appears, based on his Twitter handle, he is filing a live report lakeside. Is that correct? Is that accurate?
That is absolutely accurate. And I am wearing my fire retardant flip flops. I didn't tweet a picture of that, but I am.
It's even better.
I broke them out.
Is it as balmy where you are as it is in the cities? Because it's pretty warm today. I think we've hit 85, maybe 86 degrees, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because it was in the 50s this morning and raining, and then the rain left, and now I think it's in the 80s already.
Whoa.
So it's
good for
it's,
you.
Yeah, it's a good time to be by the lake. I'll leave it at that. Not that there's really a bad time.
No, that's what they tell me. There is no such thing as a bad time, especially in the land of 10,000 lakes. Emails for the knocker, booth at KFN.com. That's the Bradshaw and Brian inbox. I'm looking at a tweet. I don't even know who this is from. It's actually sort of a topic tweet via Twitter under World News. Chinese government says the first human case of H10N3, or is it H1ON3? I don't even know what it is. Bird flu is unlikely to spread, to which one snarky tweeter says, okay, it's settled then. So do we have to worry about this this bird flu thing, or what do we need to know about that, if anything?
Well, it is interesting, you know, and I think I tweeted an article yesterday that there we are seeing now. We had talked earlier in the year, you know, when one of the many, looking back, of the alarm bells that were rung that never came true were the twindemic. Remember last fall when it was going to be flu and COVID together, and there was going to be dogs and cats living together, that kind of thing. And that never, and it never materialized. We never saw any influenza at all. And now we are starting to see influenza cases on the rise, as well as other respiratory viruses. So I don't know anything about this new, that sounds like an influenza variant to me. I don't know anything about that one. There is a little bit of concern that we might see a rip-roaring flu season because people spend a year not being exposed. But, and we are seeing those cases start to go up.
As I mentioned, you can, if you have questions for the knocker, Bradshaw and Brian inbox, booth, booth at KFAN.com. You know, generally speaking, all the numbers seem to continue to be, in this country at least, seem to be, as we talked about last week, and seems like the last few weeks, everything's kind of going in the right direction. One of the questions I have is whether they're going to reach a point where even the medical community says we can't necessarily recommend, if you're talking about a kid under the age of, I don't know, 10 years old, 9 years old, 11 years old, that we don't even think it's necessary that they be inoculated. What's the latest on that? What do the numbers tell us? And then will that eventually, do you think, if they continue to be very favorable, have an impact on what the medical approach is going to be to kids getting the getting jabbed?
Well, there's really, so first of all, across the country, the numbers all, they look really good. Every part of the country now, things are trending in the right direction. You know, I just tweeted a story by Jeremy Olson that in our state, the positivity rate of tests is less than 5% now. Certainly in the tests we're running at Mayo Clinic Labs, the positivity rate is low. So that's really going to create two things that first of all is creating pressure on the U.S. government to release doses of the vaccine to other countries, because Africa, as well as India, parts of Southeast Asia and parts of South America are with low vaccination rates, and these new variants, like the one that's been described out of India, it's really causing some pretty dramatic rise in cases, and the kind of things that Ostrom talked about, you know, earlier, late winter, about that could happen this spring in the U.S. if we didn't get vaccinated. So there's going to be pressure on the U.S. to release some of the doses that we have secured to other countries to allow them to get vaccinated. The other, which no one's really talking about yet, but it's really to your point, at what point is this no longer a health emergency in the United States? Because everything has received emergency use authorization, so EUA. And so as soon as the healthcare emergency is no longer in effect, all those approvals are they're provisional on that. So they would go away. And that would include the ability to vaccinate. And I think there is probably thoughts along those lines that Moderna and Pfizer are pushing for full FDA approval for their vaccines, probably in anticipation of that. But that's going to be an interesting. I think the emergency was extended through the end of the year, but it really is going to raise that debate, which is already there about what's the value of vaccinating kids when we haven't done long-term studies, especially now if the case rates are low. Of course, there'll be a group that still will say, well, the case rates are low right now because kids are not in school and it's summer, but as soon as summer's over, they can go back up. So we'll still see the two sides of the debate continue, I think.
Emailer Paul, this is, I think, somewhat related to the subject that we explored late in our conversation with you last week, having to do again with what seems to be a complete Sirwanga regarding scientists, a number of scientists saying, yeah, we gotta, there's no guarantee that the thing escaped from the lab or was built in the lab or was being studied in the lab and escaped, but we can't rule it out. We need to take a look, good long, hard look at this thing, even if eventually we don't ever get to the bottom of it. Emailer Paul writes, could you please ask the knocker about the revelations regarding what's called the gain of function experiments going on in the Wuhan lab? What, first of all, what does that term mean, and is it at all germane to this this conversation?
Yeah, it is germane. So the gain of function research basically speaks to taking some of these viruses, which we call zoonotic viruses, meaning viruses that are found in animal species, not human, but that had the potential to infect humans, like coronavirus species, and manipulating them in the lab to actually increase their ability, to try and increase their ability to infect humans. With the thought of that research, which as you can imagine is quite controversial, is on the one side, the advocates for it say, look, we know these infections are going to happen, so if we can create the conditions in the lab, we'll be more prepared as a medical and scientific community to deal with them. Of course, the counterargument to that is that you're playing with fire here in terms of taking something that could infect humans and actually increasing its ability to do so. And that's what is really the lab in Wuhan is, I believe, known to engage in that type of research. And the question, of course, is did the U.S. fund any of that research? There was some funding that went over to that lab and it reportedly was not used for that gain of function research. But that's a lot of the controversy. That was a lot of what Rand Paul pushed to Dr. Fauci on in his testimony a couple weeks ago. And so that's a lot of it, is that, you know, not only was this somehow created by man, but was somehow did the U.S. help, you know, fund some of those experiments. And that's really, it's going to be impossible to prove one way or the other, I think, to be completely honest. But that's really what that's where the whole debate, I think, is about. And of course, it's also, if you remember, you know, that whole topic of, you know, what was the role of the Wuhan lab? Was there a role for the Wuhan lab? That was a very politicized issue, you know, last summer as well, in terms of what kind of information was coming from the White House versus others in the federal government. So there's all kinds of political undertones here as well.
We did talk about that extensively last week. And one of the, I think, significant mistakes that I've talked about without you as well is that there were too many people for me to, there were too many reporters and frankly, in some cases, even scientists who wanted to dismiss all of it because they connected it to crackpot conspiracy theories that the president and others in sort of in his political wheelhouse were coupling that theory with. You know, they were adding two or three things to it. And to me, the mistake was just because it's being presented by some people as part of a larger conspiracy to knock everybody else out, stupid stuff, does not mean you shouldn't do proper vetting about the lab itself and about the possibility that the lab had some impact. That, to me, is the mistake. You're not obligated to go down the crackpot conspiracy part of the story, are you? You are allowed to lift and separate, to distinguish one aspect of it from the crackpot conspiracy stuff, which was not worthy of any sort of meaningful reportage.
Well, I mean, yes, I think you don't have to necessarily go down both pathways. And I think as we come out of this pandemic as a country and start to think about what's happened and transpired over the last 14 months, I think the two things that come to mind are, number one, the need for real transparency on issues that affect all of us, because people can tell. We can tell, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to you guys talking about the press conference and Guerin and Evison's, you know, comments around Parisi. And look, I think they've done a great job with the team, but it just doesn't ring true, you know, that was the master plan. And so to sit, you know, be patient and come in and score some big goals. Cause if they knew he was going to score big goals, why would they have him scratch
exactly
three games?
Yep.
You know, and they were confident in that. And so same on a much bigger scale, you know, the pandemic information, being transparent with what was being shared and just sticking to what we know. I mean, you know, there was a lab in Wuhan, which is the epicenter of this infection. which was engaged in experimentation with these types of viruses. So does that leave open the door possibility that that was the source? Absolutely. I think in the early days of the pandemic, to be honest, and I remember discussing with this with you, it didn't really matter. At that point, we had to figure out how to manage the problem that we had on hand. But, you know, and so, and that's the challenge to any conspiracy theory, of course, is that any conspiracy theory has elements of truth to it to ring true and to capture people's imagination. So, you know, whether that means it was part of some grand master plan or anything else, I think that's going too far. But, exactly. You know, we can't exclude that it did, that there somehow was linked to that laboratory because you can't, because you just can't logically.
I got a lot more to get to, some other very good emails and a couple more questions I have. We're going to continue with the knocker, Mayo Clinic Laboratories President William Maurice. We call him the Big Knocker. Back with part
on the Fan.
One, two, three, four. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up. Get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, like a sex machine, get on up, wait a minute, shake your arm, then use your palm, stay on the scene, like a sex machine.
Bumper to Bumper is the name of the show. Interesting bumper music choice here for the knocker. I mean, coincidence or?
No, I just love this song.
Oh, you just love the song. Okay, I didn't know if it was any kind of a, just wanted to be sure it wasn't some kind of a statement that you were attempting to make at this point. As we say hi once again to the knocker via the Connecticut Water Systems hotline, let me read you an email that, that asked a question I kind of wanted to ask about as well. This is from emailer Mike. Can the knocker help explain the difference between what the U.S. is doing in terms of vaccine availability and things opening up to what is happening in places such as Canada and Australia that are locking down again and just getting worse? What are we doing to make it so much better here than in those places? I don't know if you can confirm or deny whether the numbers are going back up in those two spots, but I do know the Canada vaccinated percentage or vaccination percentage was, for me at least, shockingly low. I guess maybe I hadn't been paying attention. Did they make a bad bet on what, you know, vaccine to purchase, or did they get left out in the cold, or what do we know?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I actually was looking at that data myself today just because you can't help but wonder what's going on when you see the hockey games, you know, that are happening north of the border and with essentially no attendance. And then you see the Avalanche game in Denver, it's a packed house. They know in Ontario, at least they were dealing with another surge in cases. That the deaths were thankfully not as proportionally as high as they have been in the past, but a lot of cases, I think, related to the B117 variant, that was first identified in the UK. And it is because they have fewer people vaccinated. I don't know exactly why that is. My sense is that it really reflects the work that was done, honestly, by the prior administration to proactively procure lots of doses of the vaccine, and then the work that has been done since then to get them distributed. So that's what I think happened, was just the U.S. is very aggressive in procuring lots of the vaccine as soon as they were available. And that's also why there's a lot of pressure on the U.S. now to release some of those doses to other countries.
Fair enough. That sounds reasonable to me. I also wanted to ask you, this is not COVID-19 related, so I think that's legal for us to occasionally talk about something else, because it's something you retweeted, Mayo Clinic related, among others, and it's out of the Wall Street Journal. See if I can get to the lead here. Actually, this is from a couple of weeks ago, but nevertheless, interesting. Mayo Clinic and other organizations are using an assembly line approach to artificial intelligence development, where small teams use a common set of software tools and procedures to speed the production of AI applications while cutting cost. The Minnesota-based healthcare provider launched what it calls its AI factory in September, is now getting into full production with about 60 projects under the way. So is this like Frankenstein monster stuff, or should we be scared, or should we be encouraged? What does this all mean? Can you translate it to the dumb among us, including
me? It is an interesting trend, and that's why I tweeted it. It's really led one of my colleagues who's newer to Mayo, Dr. John Halamka, is leading this effort, who's very, very well known in the world of artificial intelligence and data. But what we're going to see coming out of the pandemic is a real introduction of artificial intelligence tools in medical practice, especially with remote care and telehealth and electronic medical records, meaning that doctors will use programs essentially to analyze your data as a patient and make recommendations. It doesn't mean that you're going to be, your doctor's now a robot. But it does mean, just kind of like with artificial intelligence with driving, that physicians and providers will be using these tools. And if people are going to have to get a comfort level with that, because there might be things like chatbots. It might be when you call your doctor, you talk to a chatbot that will help direct your call. You might never actually talk to a physician if you have a question around your medication. So it will change how we interact with our healthcare. And I think the concerns around access to healthcare that the COVID pandemic brought out, there's been now massive investment in the space, including at Mayo Clinic. It was happening before, but this is one of the trends that we'll really see accelerated coming out of COVID. And it's going to be one that, people are going to be variably comfortable with, because it's going to involve a lot of the other themes that are part of the public discourse now in terms of access to data and who's responsible if a machine is making a recommendation on something. So this is being done the right way, but it's going to change. It will change how we interact when we go to a doctor, what that experience is like. So,
Emailer, get back to some emails COVID-19 related. This one's interesting, I think. Mary writes, I am autoimmune compromised, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's, and lupus, middle-aged woman who had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in early March. A week ago, I had the spike protein antibody test done, and the results showed I had no spike protein antibodies found, neither IgG or IgM. I believe this means I have no protection against COVID. I have an appointment with my rheumatologist next week, but I would like to hear your opinion. What do the test results mean for me going forward?
Unfortunately, we don't know. So the antibodies, which are going to get talked about a lot here, as we look at people that have either recovered from infection or been vaccinated, they certainly, if you have them and you've been vaccinated, more than likely you're protected. But there's other ways that your body responds to a vaccine that protects you. I think we've talked about them before. T cells, which don't make antibodies, but do also are very important for fighting viruses. Some of the cells that make the antibodies, which you call plasma cells, they can live even though they're not making the antibodies, standing at the ready. There was a recent paper about that. So, that's the challenge right now, is that patients want to get, like this woman that has some underlying health conditions that might affect how she responds to a vaccine. They want to get a test to make them feel more assured that they're protected. But when it doesn't provide that assurance, what does it tell us? And so we really don't know, unfortunately, because the way the studies were done, we haven't correlated with that yet. So we do have to remember that people that have been infected still can get, been vaccinated, can still get COVID infection. So everyone still needs to be careful. If you have an underlying immune condition like that, probably a little bit more so. The chances are, what we know from the data, is that she probably is protected from COVID to a certain extent, and probably significantly, even though she does not have detectable antibodies. So I thought what you might ask me about was the other, of course, COVID-related potentially thing I'm concerned about. That's to our neighbors to the east, that, if Rogers does not show up for training camp, will it lead to kind of a mass hysteria on the heels of the pandemic, which will be kind of a localized mental health crisis. That's something I think we need to think about too. I actually, a good, very loyal listeners to the show, Steve Witucki and Jeff Zimmer, I went with them and a number of other friends on a minivan to the Vikings-Packer game back in the day and partied in the parking lot with Packer fans. So, they're great people. So we have to watch out for them, too.
I think you can answer it's a rhetorical question, because it's going to be the panic's going to be on if he actually is traded. Does the knocker know anything about the Novavax vaccine? It's being used globally but not yet approved in the U.S. I'm waiting for it for personal and health reasons. That's from Dean. Do we know anything about the Novavax vaccine?
Yes, that's one that's out there. There are other vaccines. So there's the Sinovac, which is the one created in China. There's a Sputnik, which is the one created in Russia.
Oh.
And there is the Novavax, which is another company. The data on those indicates that they're not nearly as efficacious as the Moderna, the Pfizer, and the J&J vaccine. So I think the Novavax, the early data shows it's protective, but probably more, I haven't looked for a while, but it's more like in the 70%-ish range. So it's one that could well be available here. But again, many of these other vaccines are probably going to be prioritized for other countries just because there's so many parts of the globe that are really struggling to get people vaccinated, and is really a problem now with these more transmissible variants.
How did you take the Game 7 loss? Did you view it as, gravy? We had a nice regular season. This was always going to be a transitional year, or did you take it hard the way we went down in Game 7?
Somewhere in between. I think when Brodin got hurt so early, when Parisi scored and when Kaprizov scored, you never really felt like we were kind of on top of the game. So it was disappointing. But I think there's a lot to look forward to. It's not like, I overall felt okay. And then you watch the game last night. I mean, Vegas is a really good team. Like, you know, they dominated the Avs, but they didn't manage to score to win that game. So I think overall the better team probably won, but I think the future is bright for our Wild.
You're okay. You're on board.
Yep. Yeah. I still am on board. It'll be interesting to see how they manage this offseason. The previous situation is a fascinating one because there's really not a good out.
There isn't.
Because even the buyout leaves them with huge salary cap penalties, as Russo has written about nicely.
Yeah, that's the bigger issue. I mean, if you got an owner who's got big bucks and is willing to write the check, that part of it is actually doable price-wise, but it's the salary cap implications that seem... I think they're a little better next year, but then they go the next year and they're bad. They're worse again. It puts them in a very untenable position for sure. On that note, enjoy the lake, enjoy the heat. I guess I don't know if it's going to be steamy. I just know the temperatures are going to go way up. But you get to cool off on the lake. Not a bad gig if you can get it.
That's right. Yeah, I'm counting my blessings, as I've said. So, yep, and I hope everyone enjoys the end of the week here and has a good weekend.
Thank you, my friend. We'll chat next week.
Sounds good.
Mayo Clinic Big Knocker Bill Maurice on the Connecticut Water Systems Hotline. I got an interesting email from a source close to the show that I offer up or will offer up after the break as a prime example of how a single-sourced story can end up seeming a lot juicier and a lot more relevant than it really is.